Well, good morning. Am I on? Can you hear me?
No one yet.
How about that? All right. I think I am electronically communicating. All right. Well, let's open to our Bibles to Hebrews 3. That is what I am going to preach on this morning. Hebrews is after Paul's letters. You know, after Corinthians, after Philippians, after Philemon, that's only like a page there. So while you're finding Hebrews, I often have a hard time finding Hebrews, so I'll give you a minute. But I just want to express my love for this church, for New Covenant. Had a bit of a history with New Covenant. When I came back after the pastor's college, I was doing an internship at Crossway Church, and we didn't have a building at the time, and so Chap Bettis offered this building so I could come here and do studying and serve my church using your building. So I'm thankful for that, thankful for friendship with Chap, thankful for a new friendship with John. Got to meet him and talk with him at a conference recently, and I really enjoyed meeting with John and talking with him. We had the men's retreat, and I just loved that we had the men's retreat, and John served us in many ways, and hopefully we were able to serve you as well, the guys. And we're partnering with the summer off. I saw the video plan. Making me feel comfortable. I see my church members up there on your video there. And it's a wonderful opportunity that we can join together as churches to serve the community down in Dexter Park. And that is a wonderful opportunity. I just haven't seen that kind of response to the gospel. People are hungry, really. You get to talk with people about the gospel. Wonderful thing. So if you weren't planning on doing summer off, I encourage you, make plans, if at all possible, to join with this church and with Crossway. Doing summer off is a good thing, and I've enjoyed some friendships here and there. A lot of you might know my oldest brother Mike and his wife Jen Roca. They love this church as well and have lots of interactions. So and one of the things I am so thankful to God for is a gospel preaching church, a gospel living church. Right here in Attleboro, on Main Street. This is a half a mile from my house. So I love Attleboro. I love Franklin too. Franklin's where Crossway is. So I'm glad that there is a church here who are preaching the gospel. And we're not, this isn't the only church, but I'm thankful for a faithful church here in you guys. So thank you. So as I said, we're in Hebrews this morning, Hebrews 3. The title of this message is Church Help for Hard Hearts. Church Help for Hard Hearts. I'm going to start with a question that might seem like totally unrelated, but I think you'll see how it is related in just a moment. Who would win in a fight? A dolphin or a shark? Dolphin, shark. Shark's got teeth. All right. Dolphins are playful and they're, they're smart, but they have got a single row of pretty dull teeth, Their skin's soft, so they can be punctured easily. And sharks, they're generally aggressive and fierce. They have rows of sharp, nasty teeth. And their flesh is solid and it's like sandpaper. It's hard to puncture. One-on-one, a dolphin doesn't have much of a chance. The dolphin's gonna run away. He can't face the shark by himself. But that doesn't usually happen. The dolphin isn't usually by himself. Because dolphins travel in groups. And even though dolphins don't have much for natural weapons, they can even kill a shark if they are in a group. And in the animal kingdom, predators will even attack a group. They'll go after a prey that's sick or maybe straggling behind. And in a similar way, individually, we are susceptible to predators. We're susceptible to the enemy by ourselves. But together, as a church, you are strong. And your strength doesn't come from yourselves, but from God. So I'm going to read Hebrews, starting verse 1, chapter 3. I'm just going to preach on 12 to 15, though. But this will help to give you some context and see that together, as a church, you are strong. Individually, I think we're weak. Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. And as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold fast our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Let's pray as we ask God to minister through his word to us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you that it's a church that loves you, Lord, and loves each other. And I pray that you would minister to us this morning through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Empower us through your Holy Spirit, that we would heed this word that you have given us this morning, your everlasting word, your word that is powerful to change. And I ask that you would change us this morning by your word. Help our hearts to be soft. Help us to heed these words and exhort one another. Help us to enter that rest that you have for us. And I ask that you would bless this church. Bless the people here, Lord. That they would love you all the more and see you as all the more great and love each other all the more as a result. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So the writer of Hebrews is addressing a pretty serious crisis in Rome. And here at New Covenant, you might not struggle with that same crisis. Their problem was returning to the Mosaic Law, and rejecting Christ's sacrifice. You know, that's not typically our specific problem, right? I'm not gonna be quite as forceful as the writer of Hebrews is, and yet at the same time, there is a warning for us. He gives warning after warning in Hebrews. It's good for us to take heed of that. But we do face a similar problem in America. Hard hearts. Hard hearts that turn away from God. And that includes leaving the church and losing faith. There are seemingly less and less people going to church these days. Less and less people having faith. Less and less people who are religious. Less and less people who trust in Christ. And so there is a warning in that. But I think God has called us to local churches to help us keep from falling away from Him. That's my main theme this morning, that God calls us to local church so that we will not turn away from Him. We need the church. The church is an essential means of grace to us. And I'm not talking about this building. The building isn't the church. I'm saying you are the church. You're this local church. Crossway, when I think of Crossway, I don't think of the building up in Franklin. I think of all the people there. That is the church. We need the church to help us from falling away. And maybe you're not struggling with falling away completely, but there is still a struggle for us this morning even, this week even. Because by ourselves, we will be more tempted to be hardened by the lure of sin. It says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And so I have 3 points this morning. And really, there's just 3 words to remember. Hard, hearts, and help. There's a combination of these words. So the first is hard hearts. The second is hearts helped. And the third is help hard. So the first, hard hearts. We have hard hearts. When we think that we don't have hard hearts and we have soft hearts, again, just maybe a few days later, we realize we have hard hearts. As Paul says in Romans 7, nothing good dwells in our flesh, and we do not do what we want, but we do the very things that we hate and know to be wrong, don't we? Our flesh is waging war against our minds, and our flesh threatens to take us captive. It threatens to deceive us and harden our hearts. But thank God that Christ renews our minds by His Holy Spirit in the ministry of the Word. See, even though we have experienced Christ, this danger, it still remains for us. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, take care, brothers. He's addressing the church community. So He's addressing both male and female. Don't think that you're immune. Don't think that your heart can't become hardened. Don't think that you are not going to be tempted by sin. Or that you're only tempted in this area or this area. Oh, I don't struggle with that. No. Sin can always creep up. Sin can always rest you, even when you don't think that you've struggled with this particular area. But sin can grab a hold of you before you even realize, and you'll be captured by it. You'll be hardened by that sin, and it snares you before you even know it. This is a warning. We're not dealing with just atheism versus Christianity or with losing faith versus being a churchgoer. This is something that everyone struggles with. Everyone struggles with true belief. And whenever you sin, it is the result of evil unbelief. That evil, unbelieving heart. That is why you sin. Because you don't believe God's Word. At that moment, anyway. And you're lured by something else that you place even momentarily above Christ, above God. And it's a result of that evil, unbelieving heart. And when you sin, it encourages that all the more. It encourages the corruption all the more. And no one is immune to this corruption except for Christ alone. He's the one that's immune to corruption. See, sin poisons our mind. You might think that no one will catch you in your sin. Maybe no one will. Maybe your sin's secret. You've hidden it well. Maybe even hidden it from yourself and deny it. That, no, that's not a sin. You justify it yourself. I'm very good at justifying my actions. But deep down, I know it's a sin because Christ has given me His Holy Spirit. And so He helps my conscience. And He has given us the church as well. But when you sin, you're hurting and damaging yourself as well as sinning against God. And I have seen people, even just being on the receiving end of gossip. Now, gossip, that's one of those things that I don't gossip but it's so subtle. When somebody talks bad about somebody else behind their back. You weren't the one that did it. I wasn't gossiping. But you received it. And you received that gossip, and maybe you didn't correct it. That little gossip poisons your mind. And I've seen this. It's so subtle. That gossip festers until you start having hard thoughts about that person. You start judging that person that was gossiped. Until all of a sudden, you don't love that person anymore. You don't respect that person. And you have hard thoughts towards that person. I've also seen this in marriages. Bitterness creeps up. Right? When you and your spouse, you have arguments. Every marriage has arguments, right? If you're talking to each other, you're gonna have arguments. But I've seen it where you have those arguments and you try to reconcile and you reconcile and yet the same thing pops up over and over. You know, your spouse, your husband, your wife keeps doing that same thing that really annoys you or bugs you. They sin against you in one way and they keep doing it over and over and you reconcile. You keep trying to reconcile each time. But each time, there's just that little bit you don't forgive them. And you don't even realize it at first that you didn't forgive them, but it grows. And the next time it happens, that little bitterness creeps up a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more, until all of a sudden you realize you don't even love your spouse anymore. You realize that you have hard thoughts about them. You have bitterness towards them. The feelings of romance aren't there, and maybe you're not married, and so you can't relate to this. You know, what is he talking about? I'm talking about friendships too. That can happen in many friendships. And they split. You know, it's easier to walk away from a friendship than a marriage, but it's the same thing. A bitterness creeps up and you don't even realize it. Why? Because that sinful, unbelieving heart didn't believe that you could forgive and truly forgive. That didn't believe that Christ forgives them fully and completely. That didn't believe that Christ will give you the grace to deal with this maybe lifelong struggle that they have, your spouse has, your friend has. And they keep sinning against you in this way. And yet Christ has the power to forgive. So that is the power of sin. That is the power of this subtle, subtle sin, how it creeps up. And by the time these things happen, and the time that you realize these things are happening, it's hard to mend those friendships. It's hard to mend that relationship. Whether it's gossip or bitterness or whatever, that little thing that's creeping up. You know, whatever your struggle is, maybe it's not bitterness, maybe it's not gossip. Nobody thinks their problem is gossip. but maybe it's that whatever that little sin you're thinking of right now that you've engaged in. Maybe it's anger. You know, oh yeah, I got angry with my kids, you know. They forgive me. It's, you know, it's all right. But you keep allowing yourself to do that and you're not changing and that sin will damage you, corrupt you. And you may struggle with something like that, in your life, maybe now or maybe later. But for most of us, you know, these things aren't necessarily our weekly struggle. We're not aware of them necessarily. But what Hebrews sets up in this chapter is unbelief versus rest. It seems like kind of a weird thing. You know, what does belief have to do with rest? What does unbelief have to do with restlessness? You know, when we hear the word rest, what do you think about? You hear,
You hear godly rest, you think about the Sabbath. You think maybe about Sunday, where you're gathering with God's people. Rest. Maybe you think about relaxation. You think about escape. You know, think about, oh, just getting home and relaxing and things going well for us and, you know, getting a cold drink and just enjoying time with family or enjoying time by yourself. That's what we think about when we think about rest. But the Sabbath was just a preview of the rest that, Christ provides and Christ has provided for us today, no matter your circumstances. You see, how often have you heard about someone who stops attending a meeting with the church, and the next thing you know that they are involved in some scandal, or they have left their wife, or they've abandoned their belief of God? And that is an apt illustration of the power of sin. But that's not what I struggle with on a weekly basis. I don't struggle with not coming to church. I don't struggle with belief in God. I know He's real. I know He has saved me. And I hope I never have to struggle with that again. But with what I struggle with sometimes is a desire to meet with people. Yes, me, a pastor. Sometimes I just, I want relaxation, you know. And this week has been a busy one. My wife's been sick. My kids have been sick. Really, we've been busy since January. Well, maybe December. November, really. And I think, yeah, we got so, you know, we got a full calendar. You know, I work a 40-hour work week job in Cambridge, so there's an hour and a half commute each way. There's 3 hours of my day. So I have that full-time job, and I'm also a pastor of Crossway Church, and I have various responsibilities there. There's, you know, I'm part of the worship team, so I have worship rehearsal, and we have our small groups, and we have various, you know, prayer things, and yeah, just all kinds of activities going on. And then, of course, I have my family, you know. I want to spend time with my family, spend time with my wife. I can't be an absentee father or absentee husband. So I want to spend time with them. And also, we're doing construction on our house. We're adding, 3 bedrooms to our second floor and a bathroom. And so, most of that's contractor work, but, you know, I have to do a little bit here and there, and so my schedule is busy. I'm aware of this. You know, I signed up for these things, and really, you know, I love what I do, but sometimes, just I'd rather stay home than go to care group, or our small groups, or your shepherding group. I'd rather, you know, I got to get up early next morning and go to prayer. I don't really feel like that. Oh, we have our elders, our pastors meet early morning, 6 a.m. on Thursdays, and oh, I don't want to get up, you know. I don't want to meet. Sometimes I just have that, just very briefly, you know, very briefly have that thought. And then I think, well, you know, I've committed to this, so I got to go. But if I'm going just because I'm keeping my commitments, it can affect my heart, right? It can suddenly harden my heart. I might be less receptive to God's word when I go to the meeting. I can start to question God now out loud, but I can have the thought, will there ever be rest for me? And this shows my unbelief, my defective belief. Rest isn't found in our circumstances. Rest is found in Christ and Him alone. And yet, I want to find my rest in Jesus plus fulfillment, or Jesus plus relaxation, or Jesus plus even a spiritual experience. I want to find rest in Jesus plus things going smoothly. Rest in Jesus plus relaxation. And when I don't get those things, I become restless. I can suffer unbelief that rest will never come. Because in reality, I'm trusting, I'm looking to other things than to Christ for my rest. Rest in reality is here, right now. Rest is available to us because of Christ. Our hope isn't in things going well for us. Our hope is in Christ. That we can rest in Him today, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of the most busiest of schedules, rest can be had in Christ. But He didn't save you for a life of individualism, did He? It was never meant to be just you and God. He has called a people to Himself, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for His own possession. And yes, God has the power to change any heart and help us to grow spiritually completely without the help of the church. But that's not what He's chosen to do. God chose the church to help you to grow spiritually. We need help, and our hearts need help, and we need to be encouraged to believe and encouraged to rest in Christ. So how can our hearts be helped? Second point is hearts helped. How can our hearts be helped? How can we take care not to be ensnared by an evil, unbelieving heart? Let's look at what the passage says again in verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in you, in any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So, before we talk about exhorting one another, let's talk about that everyday part. If we're going to exhort every day, first we have to be meeting together. Well, so every day, well, you know, I don't know about your schedule, but every day seems a little impractical, but if you are able to meet with other Christians every day, I encourage you to do that. But for most of us, that would be a very difficult thing to do. Our culture has taken us kind of away from this kind of centralized body. Some of us live in, and you know, some of you live in Rhode Island, some live in Massachusetts. And so you're not really close together. And I don't think that Hebrews is literally calling us to every single day, but to a habitual and regular interaction with each other. So yes, on Sundays for corporate worship, we gather together. You gather together. And you have your midweek small groups. That is a wonderful thing, your shepherding groups. And tonight you have your prayer meeting. Those are wonderful things. I encourage you to go to all of those things. Be anticipating how God will be worshiped, how God will minister to you, how God might use you to minister to others. But I also encourage outside of those times, informally, meet together one-on-one. Have dinner with others. You know, everybody has dinner. You have dinner most nights. Invite some friends over. Invite somebody from this church over. Enjoy dinner. You don't have to do anything special. You can have a pretty simple meal. Just spend time together. You can have coffee or breakfast with each other. You can even do phone calls. You can do text and instant messenger. And if you're on Facebook, you can even do Facebook to minister to each other. I'm not saying, you know, Facebook is an email and instant messenger, all those things are a poor substitute for one-on-one interaction. But if we're already on Facebook or email, whatever, let's also use those to minister to one another and to contact with other. We don't have to be, you know, sharing verses all the time. You know, that's a good thing. But just ask how people are doing. You know, just saying, hey, I was praying for you today. And be praying for people. Make the people of your local church a priority. That means making the times that when you gather together, corporately and small group, you make those a priority. See, this is your family. And I saw, I haven't been to that many churches in my life. I grew up in one church. I visited a few others during my time growing up. And then in college, I visited a bunch of churches. And then I've been at Crossway for 13, 14 years now. So really, I haven't had that much exposure to other churches. And it's wonderful to see you this morning. Just your interactions with each other. And it felt like a family, didn't it? You have a great family here. And you love each other. And so I'm not telling you stuff that you don't know. I'm reminding you and encouraging you to continue in the things that you're doing and maybe even increase in the things that you are doing together, how you love each other. This is one of the great means by which God works grace in our lives. How God changes us is through the church. Okay, so maybe you go to the meeting, but you're thinking, you know, why did I come? I'm so tired, or I've got other things to do. Maybe you even think during the meeting, this stinks, you know. I have had that thought during some meetings here and there. And it's not a good thought. You know as soon as you think it, oh, that's I shouldn't be thinking that. But you have those thoughts sometimes. Maybe because, you know, it would be helpful to understand why do you have those thoughts? Why don't you desire to meet with people? Well, maybe because the meeting, it doesn't match your expectations, you know. Worship was okay, and the message was by this guy, Dan Roca. I don't know who he was. He was just, you know, all right. maybe you think you should have stayed home today. Maybe in hope and pray that the next meeting, okay, maybe the next meeting will be better, you know, meet my expectations, it'll be a better meeting. So you're not getting anything out of the meeting. So what? It's not all about you, is it? Why are you going to the meeting? Are you looking for someone to fill your bowl of needs and expectations? You know, when you come to church, you say, can you fill my bowl? Can I have some of my needs met? And can I have some of my expectations met? Can you give to me? Can you give to me? That's not why we go to church, right? And so why in our hearts do we feel that we need to get our needs and expectations met? Are we consumers of church? No, we're not called to be consumers of church. And maybe you're on the other side of things. Maybe you go to a meeting hoping, you know, you're excited, hoping to minister to others, and you know, you want to share a scripture, or you want to just share things with others, and maybe you share it, or maybe you don't get to share it, and you know you're disappointed, or maybe you do get to share it, and it just doesn't seem, you know, they're like, I've had that experience, you know, and you can be disappointed, and you know, that can be a hard thing sometimes. You try to minister, you know, try to give of yourself, but is the meeting then a failure in your eyes if you don't get to minister to others? We've got to get it out of our heads that meeting together is about us, whether it's giving or receiving. It's not about us. It's about God. We meet together because God is here. Present right now. And He is doing a work. Maybe you don't get to give or receive today. Or on Wednesday when you meet in your shepherding groups. Maybe you don't get to give or receive. Maybe the meeting's just kind of there for you. Trust that God is doing a work because His people are meeting together. God is doing work. Trust that He is. And sometimes it's slow. Sometimes you can't see it. But, as Doug said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So we must deny ourselves and pour ourselves. I'm encouraging us to pour out ourselves for each other. And we have the privilege of giving ourselves to others. We have a rest that is available for us through Christ. Whether things are going well or not, whether the meeting's going according to your expectations or not, Because true rest doesn't come when your expectations are met. This is a false rest. It's an imitation that we easily accept as the real thing. But the real thing, real rest, is not easily lost. This is why we have the gospel. This is why Christ came and died on the cross for us. So that we could enter His rest. You know what kind of rest He's talking about? He's talking about a rest that is never-ending. A rest that we have because we have peace with God. Before Christ, we didn't have peace with God. That is the most restless that we can be. But through Christ, we don't have to strive to appear holy before God. We don't have to strive to do enough things to get to heaven, to do enough things that so that God might like us. We don't have to do a work and here and there and just struggle to do enough so that Christ would forgive us for our sin. No, it's not like that at all. Christ has come and He has done the work so that we can enjoy the rest that He has given. And we can put it on His shoulders. We rely on Him for our forgiveness. He's taken it all. And so if you are not enjoying rest, you hear this rest, well, church doesn't seem like rest to me. It seems like a lot of meetings to me. No, it's a different kind of rest. It's not a physical rest. It's a spiritual rest. And if you are restless this morning, if you're restless, you're not sure which direction to go, Christ has paid the price for your sin. And so trust and believe in Him that He will forgive you and that you can have peace with God, that you can have rest in Christ no matter your circumstances, no matter what trial you're going through, you can have rest. Trust in Christ for that rest. And He will give it to you. He will provide it for you. And this rest is based on grace. So we need our church family to help us with this, with our hard hearts. Because our hard hearts are restless. When we believe and when we trust in Christ, that's when we're resting. And so if you're feeling like I'm not resting, I'm not relaxing, I'm not feeling that rest, I think that is a result of a deficiency of your belief. It's because of your hard heart you don't feel that rest. And so we need the church to help our hard hearts, don't we? We have a people that God has given us to help us with our hard hearts. So we need to be present to meet together regularly. And you need to be reminded of that rest that you can have in Christ. That is why we gather together, so that we can remind each other of Christ, so we can worship God. And that He would be glorified by us resting in Him. And so let's not just be present, but let's be active. And so my third and final point is help hard. Help hard. It says exhort one another every day. So what's it mean, exhort? The dictionary says that strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. And that works pretty well, but we're not to just exhort people only to do certain things, but we are to exhort each other to believe certain things, to believe Christ, to believe that we have a God that is wonderful, to believe that He has filled us with grace, to believe that He is present here, reminded of His calling on your life. Reminded that God has peace and rest in Him, even in the most difficult times. Now, He doesn't say that it should only be the leaders and pastors that do this. Bible Speaks Today commentary says, not all are destined for a preaching role, mercifully, but the local church, but in the local church, all must accept a pastoral role. Believers are expected to exercise a daily cheering ministry to other Christians. So your pastor John, he loves you. Your elders, they love you. The other leaders you have in this church, they love you and they devote a lot of time to care for you. But they cannot fulfill the role that God has given to the church by themselves. They cannot do it. And God hasn't called them to do it. God has called you to do it. You must care for each other. There's much grace and gifting among you. I know there is. I've experienced some of that. And if not for the individuals that care for each other, this church wouldn't be growing spiritually. I've seen it already. I know from talking to John and just seeing you grow as a church. God is using you as a body of believers. And it's not all the same. The body doesn't just have a head. Can't move around very well without arms and legs and eyes, a mouth to speak. There's all different kinds of functions that you have. You're not all called to be leaders. You're not all called to be this way or that way. You each have your own gifting that God has given to you. The church is called to be a body that functions together and operates together, each one complementing each other. This is the ministry of God's grace, that you and you and you, all of you, exhort one another, care for another. You spur each other on and you cheer each other on in the Christian walk. And especially in this, we must not harden our hearts. You know, you might come across somebody who's just full of joy and excitement, and maybe they're a new Christian, and they see things every way as black and white. Well, you know, just believe. The scripture says this. Why are you struggling with this? It says don't be anxious. Here's why. Don't be anxious. And you're thinking, you know, you've just been a Christian for a couple of years, buddy. Wait 10 years. You'll figure out it's a little more complicated and it's a little harder than. But what's happening there? You're hardening your heart towards Scripture. He just shared with you Scripture. And you've hardened your heart towards them. Be generous. When somebody that's young in the Lord especially comes and tells you, comes and shares and tries to exhort you, you know, maybe you can take him aside and talk about, you know, how to do that well. But he shares with you Scripture. Take that Scripture. Look at that Scripture. Don't harden your heart towards his voice. Because he is speaking through even the youngest among us. And maybe you're on, maybe you're on the other side of those things. You are a young Christian and you see everything as bright and new and there's much joy and you're just happy that God saved you. It's wonderful. Your faith will be tested. We must root our faith in God's Word and His grace. And being part of the church, you can't do it on your own. God has been speaking the same things to His people for thousands of years. It's because we don't get it very quickly. He has to repeat Himself over and over. That's why we come and hear the Word preached, because reading the Bible once doesn't mean we got it all. Hearing the same passage preached over and over and over, you still need it preached to you. Because we forget so easily. And so if your faith has not been tested yet, it will be tested. And let us not harden our heart towards hearing His Scripture and His words spoken to us, no matter your situation. And there are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We need each other. And so don't reject God's voice in your life today, tomorrow, the next day. Even if someone doesn't share it very well, they're well-meaning, you know, run across people being depressed and people try to encourage them to not be depressed and they are in the midst of clinical depression for maybe even years, and people share with them Scripture. And maybe some things that are unhelpful, you know? But I would encourage anybody, if you hear Scripture shared with you, if you hear encouragement to believe Christ, to not be anxious, encouragement for whatever you are struggling with, do not harden your heart towards His Word, towards His people. And so, your application is to love one another this morning, this week, this month, this year. Love your brothers and sisters in this church in such a way that you deny yourself. That it's not, the meeting is not about you giving or receiving. It's not about how well the meeting goes. The meeting could be a total flop. My message could be a total flop. But if one person is ministered to by the Holy Spirit today, that is why we've met. I trust He's doing more work than that, though. This is the grace, God working in your lives. You give yourself for their good. You remind them of how good Christ is. You remind them not to worry. You remind them not to be anxious. You remind them to walk by faith and not by sight. And your family that has been joined together, and you're on this journey together, and you must help each other have a greater view of God. Let's not let our unbelief take hold. And if you're not enjoying God's rest now, I think you are suffering unbelief. You need to be encouraged. You need to believe in Christ. You need to believe that He has a rest for you, even in your trials. I know it's hard. It's especially hard when life is busy. It's especially hard when life is full of trials. But there is a rest. And there is a rest right now for you. So help your brother and sister in Christ. Enjoy the rest that God has given for you. Because it's a beautiful rest. Isn't it wonderful when you are resting in Christ? There's so much joy. Because He has forgiven your sins. And He loves you like a child, like His son or His daughter. The Father loves you like His son or daughter. Christ loves you as a brother, sister. It's wonderful to be in rest with Christ. So I encourage you, don't doubt that He has peace and rest for you this morning. Enjoy the peace that He has given you. And as part of God's family. God has called you to this local church so that you will not turn away from Him. Let's pray, and I'll ask the band to come back. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for Christ, who has provided that rest for us, that we do not have to strive to earn Your approval, to earn a place in Your kingdom. We don't have to strive to earn a place at this church. We don't have to strive to earn that rest, Lord, but we can enjoy it now. Help us to earn, to partake of that rest. Lord, so often we get distracted by so many things. There's busyness, there's trials, there's all of those things happen. We don't feel restful. And I ask that You would help us to enjoy the rest that You have given to us. That rest that passes understanding, the peace that passes understanding. That, Lord, we would not look to our circumstances, not look to other things to provide rest for us. We would not look solely to relaxation or to things going well for us. And Lord, I pray for those who struggle with sin in one way or another. Lord, we all struggle with something. I pray that You would help us. Lord, give us the church to help us conquer that sin and have power over it, Lord. You have already conquered that sin. And so, Lord, we ask that You would do that in our lives, Lord, that we would have that rest. We would look to You for our fulfillment, not look to other things and not be not be angry, not be anxious, not be bitter. Lord, all of those things that creep up and that we struggle with, Lord, I ask that you would conquer them all through your church and through your word, Lord. Minister to us continually through your word today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.